teaching by David Ebal is titled Money and the Military.
Now, as an introduction to tonight's lesson, how many realize and agree with us that there are some good guys and some bad guys? There are two groups being formed right now, two embryo groups, the good guys and the bad guys. There will be a manifestation of the sons of God, but there will also be a manifestation of the... Yes, the Antichrist group. This is in Revelation chapter 13. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now here's wisdom. And it goes on about 666. And over here in chapter 17, verse 1, there came one of the seven angels, had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Now come here, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In verse 9, here's the man which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. In verse 10, 10 horns are saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom, yet they receive power 1 hour with the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. I'm in 17:16 now. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree to give their kingdom to the beast, till the words of God shall be fulfilled. The woman which thou sawest, the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. It was about a year ago, maybe a little less than that, when studying the Bible, all of a sudden I found another parable in the book of Revelation. How many understand my parallels that I hadn't seen before? These I titled the Three Woes. I do wish that we had a good tape for this, but it's so complicated that I've never made a good tape. And whenever I teach the lesson on the Three Woes, we always say, whoa, 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 because we have to hold the people back because they're all leaving. Nobody comes back after we teach that lesson. It's just too complicated. And so I don't try to teach the Three Woes anymore, but I'm going to tell you a few conclusions from it. When I found the lesson on the three woes, this is what I discovered and I hadn't noticed before. The next things that are going to happen politically, I'm going to be talking about Carter, I'll be talking about Ford, and I'll be talking about Kissinger right now. I'll be talking about General Brown. Does anybody, what's the word General Brown? Does anybody remember General Haynes? Does anybody know anything about a General Haig? All right. In this realm, I'd like to define some of these. These are all characters that are playing parts in the end time. Now, it says in the end time, there's going to be a whore that sets upon a beast. You see, there are three beasts. There's an Antichrist with 10 horns and 7 heads. There's a devil, and he's got 7 heads and 7 horns, not 10. And his horns, I'm sorry, they are 10 horns, but his horns are on his heads, not, and these horns are separate. Now, when we studied about that, we found out that there are two girls. There's the bride of Christ and this harlot woman who rides the ten-horned beast, the leopard beast. How many remember all this? It's all in the book of Revelation. Now, there are two that are being formed right now in the earth. The bride of Christ, and they're coming forth. That is, can you follow the parallel being born or coming forth or being manifest to the earth? They already have life as an embryo. But they're being manifest to the earth right now, the body of Christ and the harlot woman. When we study the harlot woman, we find a couple of things about her. She rides the beast. Now, she drinks the blood of the martyrs. And when we study her throughout Revelation, starting in chapter 17 and quite a while, we find out that her the thing that she does, you remember when she's killed later on, and they're mourning because of her delicacy of the sailors. You know, they're mourning her. And the thing that they're mourning is her merchandise and her costly pearls and her fine linens and all those kind of things. And the ivory apes and peacocks, you see. And she's engaged Now, I hope nobody misunderstands me on this, but her God is commerce. Her God is the love of
money,
which is the root of
all evil.
Now, am I finding fault with money? Am I finding fault with commerce? It's not what you do, it's why you do it. It's not just going to work. That's not, you know, Paul went to work. And we're not saying that everybody has to lay off work and be a preacher. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is, if you go to work, and you go to work to get some money, to buy some food, to get some strength, to go to work, to get some money, to buy some food, to get some strength, to go to work, to get some money, to buy some food, to get some strength, to go to work, to get some money, to buy some food, to get some strength, to go to work, to get some money, to buy. And you're caught in what we call the rat race. You're caught in the rat race. How many know something about being caught in the rat race? The end of the year, you don't have any more than you had when the start of the year. How many know something about that? In the rat race. Yes, you are in the rat race. Well, come on now. Who wins the rat race?
The biggest rat.
Biggest rat. You got it. So what are you doing there? Yeah. What is it?
Feeding the rats.
Feeding the rats. All right. Well, in other words, we're not finding fault with going to work. See, Paul went to work. He's so tense, right? Nothing wrong with honest labor. In fact, I believe in honest labor. I believe in getting up early, working hard, and staying up late. And I believe that that's the only way to success. I'm convinced of that over the years. But if your goal is just money, the love of money, that's wrong, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then you'll get the goodie bags. Then all these things will be added unto you. So it's just a matter of priorities. But people get the priorities mixed up, don't they? And they make the love of money their God, and that's what this girl did. And so when she's destroyed, later on we find out that money was her God. But I'm calling your attention to the fact that she's drinking the blood of martyrs. And she holds in her hand this goblet, which is the blood. Now the reason for that is, she's riding the back of the leopard beast with the 10 horns and the 7 heads. Now, the blood of these martyrs is the blood of the soldiers. I think we can show you that later on if you want to get into it. And it's the blood, what she's doing is making merchandise of war. And she's making profit of war. And to her, a good war makes lots of money. And she rides the back of the industrial military complex. We find no fault with industry. But we do find fault with industry, the design to make money on war. Are you hearing it? I find no fault with gun manufacturing. But if the only way that you can keep your plant going is to have another war, then I find fault. Is that all right? I find no fault with munitions. In fact, we needed them. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Now I can tell how old you are. I tried that on Shirley and she never heard the song. But some of us remember, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all stay free. And so I believe in that. Now let me tell you something. I do not believe in military preparedness. I've taught these lessons in Washington. And I do not believe that being military prepared is the way to peace. Any nation that's got a big army and a big navy is going to be in a war. It's just automatic. If you have boys and give them guns, what are they going to do with their guns? They did that when they're 5 years old, and they're going to do that when they're 45 years old, too. It's just a natural thing. Listen, this nation was not prepared for World War I. Is that correct? This nation was not prepared in 1941 for World War II. Is that correct? But in less than 9 months, this nation became the greatest military arsenal of the world. Is that correct? You see, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked way, seek my face, pray to me, then I'll hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. You know what that means? God will show them how to make liberty ships one a day. God will show them how to make tanks without numbers. God will show them how to turn out those Grumman airplanes with the wings that fall back so fast that they don't even know how many there are. And he can go ahead. You see, you don't have to be military prepared. He'll give you secrets of the universe, secrets of the world, to the people who will turn to him. You understand I'm talking about the atom bomb right now. And end the war in your favor, so you don't have to be prepared in the first place. Am I making sense on this? And I'm strongly opposed to military preparedness, except in one realm. I do believe in scientific preparedness. I believe it's wise to go ahead and make your make your plans and get your drawings and have a few test machines. Is that all right? So that in the event that you need them, you can get them fast. Now, it looks like I had a few people that coughed on that one, but don't strain in that. Swallow camel on this. Now, this industrial military complex, we know it is because it's got the ten horns, and these ten horns are these ten fighting kings or generals. And when we study these, we find that five are fallen, one is, and there are more to come. And the Antichrist was and is not and shall be. In another place it says the Antichrist was, is, and shall be. Now, the Antichrist that was, most of us are now beginning to see, was, of all people, really surprising, was Solomon. His number was 666. Isn't that right? Now, 2 Chronicles 9:13, 1 Kings 10:14, it tells you that the weight of gold, the king of Solomon in 1 year was 666 pounds of gold. If you asked a Jew what 666 was, it was heavy, oppressive taxes to support a giant industrial military complex. Heavy, oppressive taxes to support a giant industrial military complex. And who rides the giant industrial military complex? The love of, which is the root of all evil. And how does she make her money? By the blood of what we would call a cannon fodder. How many understand cannon fodder? That's just the boys that are come from families that don't have enough money to keep, you know, cause them to avoid the draft. And so they have to go through it, and if they can make it out, fine, and if they can't. Now, some of us have been through that. I guess that I'm talking to a number of people who have been in military services. Let me see. All right, so that nobody makes any misunderstanding about this. I'm not finding fault with military service at all. I was in the Navy myself on submarines. I was in the Navy for 4 years, 4 days, 8 hours, and 22 minutes. That proves to you how much I enjoyed it. I really loved it, didn't I? Well, I got out of it. After I got out, I wouldn't even join the Boy Scouts. They tried to make me join the reserves. I'd seen too many reserve boys coming back with tears in their eyes. I wasn't going to do that either. I strongly recommend that all my people stay out of the reserves. That's when they get you. Is that all right? So don't bother with that. If you're going to get in all the way. Don't get in halfway with one foot. Stay out of the reserves. That's the voice of experience, the Korean War. Well, anyway, I find no fault with military men. But would you agree with me that there is an area, there's something going on in the world, it's been going on since 1776, and it's the love of money which is the root of all evil, been using these armies and these navies all these years to fight war somewhere else. The love of money was the root of all evil. We've defined it finally as the Rothschild complex. We don't find fault with Rothschilds. However, and I'm absolutely convinced, I'd like to say this, some people think that speaking against the Rothschilds is anti-Semitic. Now look, my best friend was a Jew. I'm not an anti-Semitist in any way. There's not one anti-Jewish bone in my body. But I am against the love of money, which is the root of all evil. And would you agree that the Rothschild syndrome is the epitome of this love of money? It's the House of Rothschild controls the finances of 16 nations. I mean, know what I'm talking about. If you don't believe it, just look it up in, since you mentioned National Geographic, we'll go back a year or two to 1974, January issue, page 27, and it'll tell you that it's the Rothschilds that control the value of the dollar in the United States. Now, it tells us in our Constitution that Congress shall coin money and regulate the value thereof, but it tells you in National Geographic that it's the Rothschild that regulates the value thereof. Are you hearing it? And it happens in London twice a day. Now, who epitomizes what system, can you see this from where you are? What system is it that most at the moment, I'm not saying it is, but most at the moment, most directly reflects all the characteristics of this harlot woman? The central banks, the Rothschild system. I'm not finding fault with bankers now, see? Like, I'm not finding fault with soldiers and sailors. I'm not finding fault with people that even own local banks. Are you hearing this? I'm finding fault with central banks and the control of central banks. It's all in the Rothschild hands. And they've got this immense, tremendous wealth And it started in the 1700s, and this is the way they did it. It was very simple. They made money a commodity. That you can buy or sell money as a commodity. Are you hearing it? You can just, money should be a medium of exchange, not a commodity. I hope you're hearing it. Just because you got a lot of money, see, the Bible is very clear that money is not a commodity to be bought and sold. Are you hearing it? How many have heard of usury laws? The Bible is very clear on these usury laws. I'd like to say this, though. It says that you shall not charge usury. There is nothing in the Bible saying that you shall not borrow. The law is against lending for interest, not paying interest. That ought to let some of you off the hook. Are you hearing it? The laws are against loaning money for interest, not borrowing money for interest. Hope you're hearing this. Now, the Bible says that when you do loan money, that every 50 years is to be forgiven. This is the year of what? The year of Jubilee. Every 50 years you're to set the captive free. Now, since Joshua, the son of Nun, led the people across the Jordan into Canaan's fair land, until 1978, there will be 70 periods of 50. Not exactly, because of a little problem there, but I'm calling it periods of 50 anyway. 70 periods of 50. There'll be 70 jubilees in 1978. Did you hear it? In 1978, we'll be to our 70th jubilee. Calling to your attention that Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 says, God was speaking through Daniel, and Daniel said, "Now, I have determined from reading the prophet Jeremiah the number of years that should be accomplished on the holy city Jerusalem." And what is the holy city Jerusalem? It's the city with seven hills. And it's that Babylon system, the love of, which is the root of all evil. Not anti-Semitic, it's just anti-rejecting Christ. Hope you hear it. I'm against Christ rejectors. Are you with me on this? Not against Jews, not against Rothschilds. I'm absolutely convinced that God could save every Rothschild. How about it? Do you believe that? I believe that there's God, you know, and I would pray that he would do that. Daniel was reading the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had said, "Now look, the land must enjoy her Sabbaths." That's all he knew. But Daniel took that prophecy that the land must enjoy her Sabbaths, remembered that from the time Joshua the son of Nun until they had been taken captive was 490 years. He divided 490 by 7 because the land has to rest every seventh year, called the Sabbath year of rest. How many understand that? That's the forerunner of what we call crop rotation today. See, everything that we do scientifically now is all biblical. See, it's all there. And when I say crop rotation, give me a nod. You know what I'm talking about. And it must lie follow. One year out of seven, you see, that's what he taught them. And they didn't do it. So he divided 490 by 7 and came out with 70. And he said, "Hey, the land now must enjoy 70 Sabbaths, 70 Sabbath years." Are you following this? 70 years, the land must lie fallow. And sure enough, the land did lie fallow for 70 years exactly. And Daniel understood the meaning of the prophecy at the right time. Are you hearing it? He didn't understand it before time, nor after time, but at the right time so he can do something about it. So Daniel went back to the king and said, "Oh, king, live forever. It's time for us slaves to go home." Praise God. Can you imagine that? That old guy, king of Persians, and these slaves going up and say, "It's time for us." Why, slaves don't do that. Slaves don't go up and say to the king, "It's time for us to go home." You know what the king says? "Okay, Daniel, how much money do you need?" Come on, Bible students, right? And he gave him the silver and all the gold and all that kind of stuff. Started giving him soldiers. But he said, "No." He said, "King, we won't need soldiers. God's on our side." And then later on, he wished he hadn't said it. But that was at the River of Haven. But for this point, in this lesson at least, I'm trying to call your attention to 70 sets of seven. 70 times that God was keeping track and not letting it out of his sight, though the Israelites had forgotten it. Are you hearing it? From the time Joshua, son of Nun, until this captive, they were into a Babylon system, 70 sets of seven. Do you know that we've been under the Babylon system starting at the same point and counting 70 sets of 49, or 70 sets of 50, and it takes us to 1978? Are you hearing it? 70 sets of seven, it was time for them to go home. 70 sets of 50, it's time for us to go home. Are you hearing it? 1978. And what are we going to leave? It says that all debts must be canceled. We're at the end of an age. We're at the beginning of a new age. By 1978, we will be at the end of the old age, and the old money system will be flowing right out of your fingers. Some of you still have your faith, hope, and trust in your money system. Some of you are still wondering about the money in the bank and the insurance policy. I'm sorry for you. You're in a bad way. Really. Now, if you take that money and that insurance and get rid of it and use it for something else, I'm not saying give it to us. That's not what I'm talking about. But you invest it in one of the five blessed industries, cattle, water, land, communication, and transportation, the five blessed industries, then your money will multiply. You'll not lose it. You'll still be rich on the other side. But if you put your faith, hope, and trust in your money, the money in the bank, you'll be like the rich Brazilians who at the end of World War II carried money around in their wallets. And I have some here that I remember I've shown some of you. But this is real, genuine Brazilian money. I picked it up at my trip to Brazil. This is 10,000 Cruzeiros. At the end of World War II, two of these bills purchased a brand new Buick. 10,000 Cruzeiros, 20,000 Cruzeiros got a brand new Buick. Two bills just like this bought a brand new Buick. Now, two of these bills were purchased one haircut. Now, can you imagine having enough money to buy a Buick? Put a number in the bank. How much? Well, actually, we should use 1972 prices for Buicks. So let's just put $5,000 in the bank, okay? You follow it? If we follow the same general principle that by 1979, 1980, you'll be paying $5,000 for a wash and set. And all the beauty operators said, amen.
Magic
curl. I bet you. Yeah, but you'll have somebody else cut your hair.
What I want, I like the situations like where I believe this, but your husband don't and your wife don't.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then?
What do you do when your spouse doesn't follow what you believe?
Like if I went home tonight and told him, all right, you know,
let's do this. Let's
yeah.
Let's spend the money. Let's get rid of it. You'd be very yes. He would. You'd be in trouble. How do you live through a situation when you're with a spouse that doesn't go along with all of the truth that you've seen? The Bible says that when you're with people who cannot eat meat, cannot drink wine, have to go to church this way, that way, our traditions, commandments, judgments, statutes, ordinances, you know, all tied up with this or that or the other thing, says you keep their rules. Sorry about that, friends, but Caleb and Joshua learned the same thing. Caleb and Joshua were right. Is that right? Caleb and Joshua were right, but they had to keep the rules of 600,000 other wrong people. See, law is given for the weakest member of society, not the strong one. You may be the strong one, but you're under the law of the weak one. Are you hearing it? So in the relationship of your husband-wife situation, the law is made for the weak member. The weaker member is the one who's got the loudest mouth or the most demanding person. Well, you caught that. And they're wrong, but just because they're wrong doesn't mean you do right. I hope you're hearing this. Now, some of you don't even agree to that, but it's biblical.
No, I do. I mean, I
yeah.
Do it.
Now you have to. I didn't say you didn't agree. I was looking at the crowd then. There's some of you don't agree to this principle, but the principle is biblical, and it says the law is made for the weakest member, and so in any particular social situation, you've got to keep the rules for the weakest member. Even though you know the truth, you must keep the rules for the weakest member. For instance, Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able to go up and take the land. Is that truth? True or not?
Right.
Huh? We're well able to go up and take the land.
Right.
But the 600,000 said, no, our children are just as grasshoppers in their sight. The giants will eat our children. Bible students, am I saying the truth? That's all right. So the 600,000 were wrong, Caleb and Joshua were right. Well, what happened? Caleb and Joshua lasted out 40 years, but 600,000 died. Yeah. See, the Lord will honor you. He may set it back a period. You may have to wait for a while for your truth to win out. And while you're waiting, you have to keep the law of the weakest member. And that's why though I'm so eager to come into the gospel of the uncircumcision, I still recognize that I'm under the gospel of the, and I do not take people out of the gospel of the uncircumcision, of the circumcision. Now, I know that I have been. Some people have blamed me for it and said, "Well, Ebal teaches people to reject the law and to leave the law." No, I have not taught you that. I've only identified. Now, come on. Now, there are lots of people that misquote me constantly, But it's not fair, and I guess as I get older, I get madder. But some people are just not fair to me when they quote our lessons, and they say he teaches people to break Moses' law. And I have never taught you to break Moses' law. You have never once heard me teach you to break Moses' law. I've said eventually you're going to come out of it. See, and I'm identifying goals to shoot for, something to come into, that there are those, you know, who are still going around saying bad things about us, but it's not so. And anybody who's been in our meetings and pays attention, but how many know that some people hear what they want to hear and run away with it, and they don't want to pick the whole thing? And, of course, as we remember, Carter and Ford, they were arguing with each other about taking things out of context. Did you hear that? Taking things out of context. How many know a lot of preachers do the same thing as politicians? Take it out of context and run with it, and so forth. Now, we don't teach people to come out of the law. All we do is teach people to follow the Spirit. The Spirit will teach you to come out of the law. I hope you heard that now. We teach people to follow the Spirit. As many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. It's the Spirit will take you on to the marketplace to order a BLT. What's a BLT? Bacon, lettuce, tomato. Somebody said, what's wrong with that? Well, it's not kosher. It's against the law. Against the law of Moses, but the Spirit will tell Peter's. Now, how many understand what I'm talking about? The Peter? Okay. Now, back to these guys here. Who is it that rides the leopard? The harlot. The love of, which is the root of all evil. And what does she use for her purpose? Industrial motor complex. What is it that turns and rends and eats the harlot? The industrial motor complex. And what has General Brown been telling people on the newspaper and radio and television? And what? Who's he blaming?
Jews.
You're wrong.
He isn't a Rothschild.
He's blaming the Rothschilds, but the media
right.
is calling it the Jews to take what he's saying and causing it to sound anti-Semitic. Can you hear it? He's not mad at Jews. He's mad at Rothschilds. But the media, which is under the Rothschild control, takes his words, takes them out of context, twists them, and says, he's talking about Jews. He's not talking about Jews. He's talking about Rothschilds. Can you see what I'm driving at? And how about General Haynes? Now, I know he knows the same thing because you all know some colonels that have been talking to him. I'm not calling names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble on this tape. Some of you are aware of that. But General Haig is a...
Haig or Haynes?
He
said Haynes first.
Now, General Haynes is on our side. General Haig is not. General Brown is on our side. General Haig is not. General Haynes is on our side. General Brown is on our side. General Haig is not. General Haig is the general that passed over 168 other generals, handpicked by Kissinger, a Kissinger aide, to bypass all the other generals. It was General Haig who ushered Nixon out of the White House. It was General Haig who refused to follow the orders of the president during the last days in the White House because it was the Rothschilds who issued the order in January to get rid of Nixon. And General Haig carried them out. It was General Haig that had the Nixon tapes. Now, some of you look so like your eyes are as big as dollars. Well, how many have a television set? How many read a newspaper? How many remember any of these words that I've said? How many are learning something? Putting it together for you. From the Pentagon is coming a voice, and it's screaming, I'm tired of carrying this woman. And according to the book of Revelation, it will be the Pentagon that turns and rends and eats her up. And I'm prophesying now, although I didn't see it quite so clearly, that from the Pentagon will be the saviors that rid us by exposing who this woman is, how she operates throughout the whole world. Friends, who, I want to say another way, In what profession was the first Gentile convert?
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.